sports, politics, life, Buck Roofing presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
It's hard to believe our great friend Pete Mundo of KCMO Talk Radio 95.7 is going on 7 years now hosting Mundo in the Morning and being the program director at Kansas City's conservative talk station, where he hosts a four-hour show every single morning, 6 to 10 a.m. I'm proud to call him a friend. I'm proud to be a contributor at KCMO and pitch in any little bit that I can whenever I can. And I love talking with Pete Mundo because our backgrounds, while we're different ages, are very similar. Started out a sportscaster. He's into politics now, still does a lot of sports on his show. And it's very interesting how tuned in he is to the city of Kansas City and all of the surrounding area. He is a great public service for this area. He comments not only on issues and stories and things that pull at your heartstrings, he covers politics and city councils and crime and all sorts of issues that people are concerned about in our community. It is a great public service that he performs every single day with Mundo in the Morning. He's not strictly political. He doesn't come on and just talk about Trump versus Biden and Washington, D.C. politics. There's plenty of that later in the day in the syndicated format that they have on KCMO. He really prides himself into having newsmakers on the show. He's a great guest booker. Everyone in town, Republican and Democrat, feels safe going on a show because he's going to ask tough questions but treat you respectfully. He will give his opinion after the interview, much like I used to do. If I had somebody on and I disagreed with them, I didn't like sparring with them much. I'd ask them their questions, get their opinions, and then when they're off, if I want to give an opinion and say I didn't like this or I believe this, that's certainly the case with Pete Mundo. He has Mayor Q on every week. He doesn't agree much politically with Mayor Q. It's a respectful interview. It's always must listen. The podcast, after they post it up, if you didn't get to hear it, is up every week, and it gets great numbers. Kansas City wants to hear that interview with Mayor Q every week. Certainly, these two people are completely opposites when it comes to things politically, but it's a great public service. Pete Mundo does a great job with this radio station, and we're going to have a great discussion today on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. We're going to talk a little bit about what he does at the radio station, his website, Heartland College Sports, which covers, this guy works so hard, you can't believe it. It is insane how hard Pete Mundo works. HeartlandCollegeSports.com is an awesome website. In fact, I've done a podcast there about the Big 12 and the NCAA tournament that's up. If you want to go check that out at HeartlandCollegeSports.com as a guest on there with Pete Mundo. He owns and operates that site, but he does a great job at the radio station as they've switched to FM. We're going to talk about the April 2nd stadium vote, what Kevin McCullough's actions mean big picture for Kansas basketball and the future of college basketball and football with NIL, kids making money, making decisions for themselves and not for their team. We'll get his thoughts on the tournament, and of course, we'll talk a little Mayor Q. It's going to be a whole lot of fun with my good buddy, Pete Mundo. It is brought to you today by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC, home of the lifetime warranty. I've scheduled an appointment for the first week in April. I'm getting four new tires at Roberts Robinson. Right now, they have $80 per tire rebate going on the Michelins that I'm getting. That's a great savings off the price of four tires. It's going to save me over $300 by going to Roberts Robinson. They'll service any make or model. If you need tires, this is your tire store. They'll even come get your car, put the new tires on, and deliver it back to you. RobertsRobinson.com, 816-826-1563. Advantage Termite and Pest Control is the only pest control company you'll ever need. Make the switch today to a great family-owned local conservative company like Advantage Termite and Pest Control. 913-768-8989, online at AdvantageTPC.com. And my friends Chris, Leah, and the gang at BStock.net, they're featuring 85-inch Samsung televisions right now. The TU7000, just $699. The Q60B 85-inch, $799. This is hundreds off what you would pay at Costco, NFM, or Best Buy. It is no frills when you walk in there. It literally is a warehouse with a whole bunch of awesome TVs, but the people are really smart and knowledgeable, and these are the lowest prices you will ever, ever find anywhere. There's no reason to comparison shop. BStock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road. He is Pete Mundo of Mundo in the Morning, and he's up right now on KKHI. Hit it!
The KKHI Conversation is brought to you by Fry Orthodontics, where your smile is just the start. Online at fryorthodontics.com.
Pete joins us now, and he's the hardest working guy. I feel so guilty when I talk to Pete Mundo that I don't work nearly as hard as he does, and he's got a newborn baby at home, three small children. He's on the air at 6 a.m. every day, and he's making time for this podcast. Pete, thank you so much. You are the hardest working guy in the city.
Well, Kevin, I want to work this hard now so I can do what you're doing when I get to your stage in life. You know, I want to be kicking back, doing a podcast today, and then closing up shop and playing golf. So I want to grow up to be Kevin Keating.
Yeah. Well, I always said my career goal, my aspirations were to be a golf marshal someday, and I don't think I'm yet ready to find that fulfilling. So do it. It is amazing once you broadcast, and you know this, once you do this, it's in your blood, it's never out of your blood, and you don't ever want to not do it. You may want to do it differently or go somewhere else or do something entirely different, but once you've done it, it's like people who sing, I think, for a living or whatnot. You just can't quit.
You know, it's so true, and that's why when you say, like, you know, working hard, and I appreciate that, but, you know, none of this, and it's cliche, but a lot of it doesn't really feel like work. I mean, sometimes when you're digging into, like, you know, the Texas Supreme Court case, you're trying to figure that out. Maybe that's a little bit of work, but, like, going on and getting to talk to people who care about what you think about things happening in sports and life and politics and the world in general, that's something that you get addicted to, for lack of a better word, and it never really feels like work.
So how have things changed at KCMO Talk Radio now that you're on FM 95.7? I know this has been a really big deal. The signal is better. The reach is fantastic. You guys sound just terrific. You've done a lineup change in the afternoon after your local shows. What's been going on here the first few months of this change?
Well, it's been pretty awesome, and appreciate your support on all that. And I know a lot of your listeners as well that are on the radio or listening to 95.7. It's really, you know, for us to get into the weeds a little bit, since we can do that here on the podcast, of what AM brought to the table versus what now we're on an FM. A lot of people said, well, you were on FM at 103.7. Yeah. And to compare it, we now are on an FM that is really several hundred times more powerful than 103.7, which was a 250-watt translator, not even a real radio station, technically, for the FCC. And now we go to a 100,000-watt FM stick. So this thing's going clear out past Topeka to the west. You know, it's still a very good north-south signal on the AM for people that are in more rural parts of the region. And it just gives us an audience where, you know, on radio, 80% of the people spend most of their time on the FM and don't even go to the AM. And, you know, I say this as someone who's on the younger side of the demo as well. I spend far more time, even when I had a station on the AM, on the FM, just kind of perusing and bouncing around. So, you know, we've seen just the reach of the amount of people that we you know, connect with on a monthly basis go up 3-4 times. You know, we're continuing to get great ratings that are coming in very steadily, which is where we want to be, especially with our local programming in the morning. We were very happy and are very happy with kind of where that's at in the city, focused on really that in-demo mail. If you want to get into the weeds a little bit, 25-54, and finishing in that top five has been a goal for a station that was, you know, heck, outside the top 20 when I got here. We're happy with that. That's where we want to be. And we're also seeing, and this is very interesting, you know, it kind of ties into the political climate of the moment. I don't view it as a political show. I view it as a Kansas City show that will talk some politics. But we're seeing Hispanic men, Black men come into the panel, come into the station in a way that we didn't really see as much on the AM. And I think that's because of where certain demographics are changing in terms of their political leanings and their philosophies on life. And also having the FM reach, where we're just going to get a hold and get a chance to reach more people who then hopefully are like, hey, this station's cool. I like this station. I want to consume more of it. So it's really been a game changer for us. And, you know, credit to the leadership here at Cumulus that gave us the opportunity. And we're trying to do the best with it that we can.
Yeah, I think the best way to describe what you do is having opinions is, it can be construed as political, but it's not necessarily political. You may give an opinion. We'll talk a little college basketball and some other things about NIL, or we talk about different issues, which is why I put that in the title of my podcast, was issues. If you start giving opinions, you're conservative, and so your opinions are going to be conservative, but people listening don't even really necessarily need to know that that's political, unless you're just talking about Trump versus Biden or something, that's political. But when you're talking about things around Kansas City, it's such a great public service to have a forum and a place where people can go and hear these opinions that are far different than what you get on, you know, I know you like to bash Channel 41 and the Kansas City Star, as do I, and some of these other media outlets. if people give you a listen, they start to say, hey, this makes sense. And they don't even have to think. It doesn't have to trigger in their brain that it's political. They just have to say, hey, this makes sense. We need less crime. We need more police. We need things like that. So that's not a political. Safety is not a political issue. Things like that just aren't.
No, that is so true. Like Dan Bongino's show is Washington, D.C. politics. I mean, we do a little bit of that, of course. That's kind of part of the game, but it's not what we do 4 hours every day. And you're right. I mean, I'll give you a great example of what you just talked about. There was a sports reporter on one of the local TV stations who was ripping Harrison Butker for his comments this week about how the Super Bowl parade shooting was really, and this is not about guns. It's about, you know, absentee fathers. We got to get fathers and strong men back into the house. And a local TV reporter, you know, shared that and said, here's Harrison Butker on his off season, you know, conservative soapbox. And it's like, what is political about that? He literally spit facts and talked facts. And if you don't like those facts, I mean, that's your prerogative, but there's nothing that is inherently political about those statements by Harrison Butker. And that's kind of how I view what we talk about every day.
Who was it? Do you know the person's name? I didn't see it.
Fox 4. Okay. I want to say it was PJ Green. Okay. I think he's with 4. It might be with Woke 41, but one or the other.
I'll look that up. That's interesting to me because that sounds about right. And look, the man was asked a question directly about gun violence. And he said, we got a cultural problem here and we need better dads. If anybody wanted to be offended, it would be dads, you know, because, and I think you're a great dad. I think I did okay. There's a lot of really bad dads out there, and it's a huge problem in America, and we've thrown dads to the wayside, and I think the liberals have done that quite a great disservice to our country by basically saying, dads aren't that important. Women, go get pregnant. You decide whether you want to have the baby or not. You can raise it on your own and have a career. You don't need men. There's clearly, for 30 years, been a degradation of the value of men in our society in this country, and it hurts. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. Dads are needed.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's you're right. They have done it with their policies, you know, going back to, hey, it benefits you if you're with children and not married in many respects. You'll get more government handouts in that situation, which really incentivizes people to not get married, despite the overwhelming evidence showing that if you have, stable married parents, that's your best bet to avoid poverty. To avoid going to jail, to avoid being involved in any kind of crime and drug deals. I mean, I put it all up on my X page the other day. The data is just overwhelming. So you're right about that. And it's one of those things where, you know, I have three daughters, as you just alluded to earlier. And listen, I'm one of three boys, so the girls thing is new to me, but daughters are amazing. The only thing that I do think about sometimes, and I've talked about this on my show, is, you know, I do see a dearth in quality young men in this country, and we're producing them culturally, politically, we're pushing them, to kind of take the backseat, to be the betas and to do all these things that we don't need. So that is something as a father of daughters, I think about a lot, the lack of quality men that are in society today. And the trend is only going in the wrong direction, and it's scaring the crap out of me.
Absolutely. I know exactly what you're saying. That's so spot on. So you don't, you know, I hear a lot of people say, well, Mundo's really good. He could probably go wherever he wants. And I'm sure you've had opportunities to leave and go elsewhere. I find what's interesting about what you do is you have one of the rare positions, I think, anywhere in the United States in that you kind of run the radio station. I mean, you've got the anchor show, the main draw is your morning show, and you're the program director and you make all these decisions. How much, you work for a big corporation, how much do they either oversee or interfere or give input into what you think the station should be? And how much of it is just you building what it is you think it should be?
Well, I will say when it comes to the show, very hands off. They have been just allowing me to do what I do and what I want to do every day with this show. There has been no one who has overseen anything. No one who has said, hey, don't say this, don't say that on any issue in, you know, soon to start year 7 of this show. So there's always, you know, some people who convince themselves that I'm parroting some, you know, big corporate talking points. No one's ever said a word to me about that. In terms of the station itself, I mean, yeah, I'm the program director, so I will have a big say in anything that we do. But I would say that is, you know, I've leaned on people in the company, as you know, we've got hundreds of stations who have done this for much longer than I've done it. And that's guys who have had and gals who have had tremendous success in this format, in talk radio, combined with, you know, we have an operations manager here who's been around this business for decades. Our market manager, you know well, Donna Baker, will have input and does have great input in terms of what we do. So I'd say the overall build of the station has been team oriented. The show has been, you know, just what I want to do and where I want to take it. And they've been great and hands off on that front. And it is unique. But listen, I think you know this as well as I do. Media is getting more fragmented. It is harder for these companies to continue to bill like they used to. And that's happening for TV even worse than radio. I mean, I think radio is in a much better spot than local TV. And I firmly believe that. Yes, I'm biased when I say it, but the data backs it up. TV's got a, or radio has a younger audience than TV, like your local news. Everyone is 65 plus. Radio reaches more people, younger people. It is still a much more used product than anyone on social media really talks about. But there are challenges. So, you know, for me, being the program director was not something I thought I was going to do at any point, but I kind of came into it here as the assistant PD, became the PD, and it's kind of fun wearing two hats because you get to kind of see how the sausage is made behind the scenes with ratings and Nielsen and all that craziness, and then just have the fun of doing the show on the air every day, which is really why I do this and why I love it. But it is kind of fun to get the and kind of see the corporate angle as well behind the scenes, because that's a whole nother ballgame.
Could you ever see yourself being a corporate executive managing and operating radio formats and stations and not being on the air?
I can't. I I've been asked it before, but if I wanted to do kind of the corporate thing, I don't know if I would do it in this business. I just think I would do it somewhere else. The joy I get from doing a show from, you know, when that mic comes on every day and you're live and you got to say something interesting to get that audience engaged. If I was not doing an on-air show, I would just go do something else in media, either on my own, you know, that I own and operate, because there's way too much fun to be had and joy to be had doing that. I can't see myself just kind of, you know, doing the overlord corporate thing, overseeing stations. That's, I mean, listen, it's for some people. I can't see it ever being for me.
Good for you. Good for you. All right. April 2nd, we've got a vote coming up, and I was sitting here for a couple of weeks saying, you know, I hear a lot of people say they're going to vote no. I don't think the Royals did a very good job presenting their plan. I don't know what the hell the Chiefs have decided to draw up and say we want money for. I think the whole thing has been haphazard. I don't think they've earned a yes vote. I'm not against voting yes. I just don't think they've earned it yet. They just seem sloppy and lazy to me and haven't done a very good job. So that's kind of been my stance, but people can vote how they want. And then, you know, Monday hits or whatever, and it's like, oh yeah, there's going to be 2 weeks of voting. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's right. It's going to pass. There's no way they're going to have mail-in voting and drop boxes and absentee and all this stuff. And the Chiefs and Royals and Jackson County with all their money or whatever, Kansas City, Missouri, aren't going to get this thing to where they get the yes vote. Is this thing destined to succeed just because of the voting system?
Well, I would agree with you typically, but the reason I would say no on that is because one of the loudest advocacy groups is a group called KC Tenants that you know well, and they're, you know, a Marxist run operation. I don't agree with them on really anything, but they have made some decent salient points on voting no. And they are, you know, a very well-funded, by who, God only knows, but they're a very well-funded, well-structured communist organization. Let's be clear on what they are, but they're also on the no vote. So it's this weird political bedfellows of more conservative folks combined with the KC Tenants. And the KC Tenants are the ones right now who are going door to door in a major grassroots effort saying, get out, vote early. They had big rallies yesterday, getting out the early voters, which typically, yes, would help more liberal democratic causes. But in this case, this kind of crosses, political lines. So their efforts may actually help the no vote in a way. I'm not convinced the yes vote has that kind of groundswell movement. We see the fancy ads. We hear the radio spots. We know they got another $1 million. But I'm not convinced they have the ground game on this. And in a low voter turnout election, I look at it and I say, okay, the low voter turnout elections are all about who is the more passionate group. And anecdotally, similar to you, the no voters seem a lot more passionate than the yes voters do. And that could help the no vote in a way that I think the yes side isn't realizing. And I think the yes side is also, they're not connecting with what the average Jackson County voter has been through these last 4 years inflation, of taxes, and so much more.
Yeah, I see all these unions saying, yes, we support the yes vote. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I grew up in a union house. I just don't know if you're a steel worker right now or a pipe fitter or whatever, you're going to be motivated to go vote on this thing. It's giving money to billionaires. I mean, I guess they vote for more jobs is what they're telling. Their union leaders will say you're voting for more work, more job security, things like that. That's all true. I think there are certainly more jobs if we're going to build stadiums and do all this renovation. That's, we saw that with the airport and things like that. So maybe they will all go vote yes. I don't know. But I've also heard people say there's a lot of people in the suburbs that are against this, that they're not making ends meet the way they used to. And they're like, no, we just don't feel like spending any money on anything right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of this populist theme that has obviously, taken parts of both political sides of the aisle, where there is this, attitude of, hey, the billionaires can build their own damn stadiums. And I get it. I mean, I'm kind of with you where I don't have a vote in Jackson County. I've talked about what I think are the benefits of the yes, but there's also been a lot of benefits and compelling examples of why no is the way to go here. So on top of the fact that people in the suburbs don't want to go downtown, I mean, I just think the Royals, the move and the location they picked, pissing off the Crossroads, they're obviously up in arms about this whole thing. They have screwed themselves, missing every deadline and everything else. They have hurt themselves at every turn. And they've done it to themselves. And now they're basically hoping the Chiefs are going to drag them across the finish line. And frankly, that's their best bet. You're seeing the ads lately be more about the Chiefs. You see the grandma and grandpa on TV, that commercial. There's no mention of the Royals there. It's just all about the Chiefs. And I think that could work enough with the low information voter. I mean, I got a lot of buddies who are now telling me that they're voting yes, just because they are fearful as lifelong Kansas Cityans that they would lose the team. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't see any way it's going to happen, but for some, it might be enough to work.
Yeah, it usually takes three no votes for a team to leave town, at least three. So this would only be one. And again, I said to my audience, I think they deserve a no outcome on this because I don't think they've worked very hard or very smart in any of it. If they want to circle back next April and do this again and there's a better plan, I'm all in favor of supporting yes. I'm not a big tax guy, but I understand these are old facilities and maybe downtown is the right place to be. I personally think the north of the river site would have been very interesting to create a village over there, or a place, a destination in Kansas City that's across from downtown that certainly is safer than downtown, especially after what we saw at Union Station after the Chiefs parade. I mean, there's just a lot of issues going on right now. I still have in the back of my mind, though, that these two teams are so influential and so powerful that they're doing something right now that we're not anticipating they're doing, and they're going to get this vote. I just feel that. I could be wrong.
No, I mean, listen, they've got the money. $2 million into this campaign run by Axiom and Jeff Rowe is going to get them almost whatever they want. But, are they doing any more on the ground? I don't know. What I hear from people on the ground is they're getting a lot more from the no side, from the tenants people, than they are from the yes side. But I'm not going to put anything past, like you said, the power that these two organizations have in this market in a way that you just don't have, in New York with the Yankees or the Giants, the Jets. When you've got these two franchises in, a good-sized market, but a mid-sized market, obviously their influence is far more than what you'll get in a New York, L.A., Chicago, Dallas.
All right, Pete, I want to talk a little college basketball with you, and we certainly love your site, heartlandcollegesports.com. That's heartlandcollegesports.com. You do such a great job there covering college athletics in the Big 12. Big news with the Kansas Jayhawks this week is Kevin McCullough is not going to play in the NCAA tournament. We don't need to go into the X's and O's of what that means for the team. We've watched the team this year. I think we all know. The big picture here to me, what I said on my podcast on Wednesday was, McCullough's just a symptom of the real problem. And the real problem is, about a decade ago, all the hard left sports journalists in this country and university presidents got together and said, we feel sorry for it's always so racist at its core. We feel sorry for these poor black kids in the inner city that come to school and they don't get anything. We've got all these billions of dollars. I'm like, wait a second. They're getting a $400,000 education. They get a stipend. They're all getting cars. They got girls. They live in $400,000 condominiums. They're getting trips to Maui. They're getting everything, man. But it wasn't enough. So they've screwed this up. And not only do we have NIL now, it's unfettered free agency. Any player that gets mad at his coach can leave at any time and go wherever they want. And I think this just happened to Bill Self. I think Kevin McCullough, over the last 6 weeks not practicing, was basically saying, my knee hurts, I don't want to practice. I've already cashed all the checks you've given me for transferring here. There's nothing in my contract says I got to keep playing. He went out on senior night against K-State and scored 19 points in 31 minutes and looked great. But then what? He's injured again, even though he's not practicing? I think coaching the way Bill Self coached, which is discipline, you know, getting his players, yanking them out of games, getting mad at them, throwing them on the bench when they're not doing what he says, those days are gone. He can't do any of that with these. We've seen it with Nick Saban, who stood in front of Congress last week and said, I'm out of coaching. These kids are not interested in Alabama. They're not interested in me. They want to know how much do I make and how much do I play, and that's it. To me, this just screams of a problem between Bill Self and Kevin McCullough, how hard he was going to work, how much he was going to play, and I think he just flat checked out on him. Am I crazy?
Yeah. No, I think you heard it in Bill Self's voice when he made that announcement to reporters on Tuesday. It was a lot of, you know, Kevin says, and Kevin's knee, and Kevin this. It was not like, you know, in conjunction with our training staff. It was just basically Kevin. And you could hear the frustration in Bill Self's voice. Like, this guy's in practice. And when the reporter said, yeah, it's too bad he's out for the first round, Bill goes, no. He's done for the tournament. So clearly this, I don't know if personal is the right word, but clearly it's beyond just the guy with a bruised knee. And I think you're right. I mean, there was a story, Josh Pate had this, from formerly with 247 Sports. He now has a big college football show and podcast, Late Kick, that he does. And he said, about a week and a half ago, he wouldn't say who, but he said a major SEC football player basically shook down the university, shook down the boosters before one of the biggest games of the year, and basically demanded, you know, who knows how big the payment was, but demanded a payment to step on the field for that game on that Saturday. And that's the problem. There's no guardrails to any of this. If you want to pay the top guys, I don't have an issue with it. But I really blame the NCAA. The NCAA is so feckless. They kicked the can down the road. They hoped that this day would never come. And now here we are in an environment that was supposed to be about, you know, Bob Smith doing a car dealer ad for, you know, Joe in Manhattan, has now turned into literally shake down boosters for as much money as you can with no strings attached. And that's the scary part. You saw it in college football too. No one played in the bowl games. Guys who were getting paid by these teams bailed out of their bowl games. I think that's ridiculous. And that's where something needs to be done. I'm not big on the government getting involved in any of this. I hate that idea, but somebody has to come together to fix this, because you're right. I think that's what's happening with McCullough, and it's only going to get worse as these guys say, I cash my checks. I'm done. I'm saving myself for the NBA draft.
I think game checks are in the future. I think at some point they're going to say you have to play. I think Jalen Daniels held Kansas football hostage last year completely, said, you want to redo your stadium? You're raising hundreds of millions of dollars. You need me back next year. I'm not going to go play hurt and rack up bad stats and do whatever. He's warming up ready to go against Texas, and they cancel him playing 30 minutes before kickoff. I mean, none of it with Jalen Daniels made any sense at all last year at Kansas, and this had to be related, because then he's the happiest guy in the world to come back. Well, how much did they pay him to come back? Well, they're still raising money. They haven't paid for the stadium renovation. They're still raising money to pay for what they're doing. They need this guy. They need to win football games. I think he was absolutely in the driver's seat. We're seeing this stuff everywhere. I'm telling you, these coaches aren't going to stick around for it. I think what we're going to see is a rash of coaches that get to like age 50, 55, that have maybe made $20 to $30 million, and they say, I can't do this anymore. And I bring up Bill Self because I firmly believe the reason he stayed in college so long, because he was always rumored to take an NBA job. He loves the NBA, by the way. Bill Self loves NBA basketball. I think the reason he stayed was, I've got more control of my players. I can discipline them. I can bench them. They're kids, not men. I can do all this. Now it's done a 180. He literally would have more control over his roster in the NBA than he does in college. There's no stopping these kids. They can do whatever they want, whenever they want. At least if he's coaching in the NBA, he's got players under contract that can't walk out on him. I mean, I think the whole landscape has just changed dramatically. Did I read this right? There's only six coaches in this tournament this year that have won the title. I mean, it's a very low number of coaches have done this. They're all retiring early. I'm worried for Kansas that Bill Self's going to throw his arms up and say, I ain't doing this, because we just saw Nick Saban do it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that trend is happening. I think you're seeing that, whether it's Jim Harbaugh going to the NFL. I mean, you're seeing now head coaches take coordinator positions in the NFL, which you really would have never seen. You've got Chip Kelly saying, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go be the offensive coordinator at Ohio State. I mean, what you're going to see is more of this. If you want to be a coach, being a college coach in football or basketball is no longer coaching. It's not. It's ego management. It's CEO driven. It's being a GM as much as anything else. It's not coaching. So I agree. I think guys are going to make their money. I mean, they're making tremendous amounts of money. They'll burn out by the time they're 50. They'll not want to put up with the crap. They might go to the pros, or they just might hang them up. This is not what college sports was. Heck, even 10, 15 years ago, we saw that. I mean, I think my guy, I say this as a biased Villanova guy, but Jay Wright, he was ahead of the trends 2 years ago. He got to a Final Four. We know what happened. He lost to Kansas. And he goes, you know what? I know where this is going. This is not what I built this program on. I'm done. I'm out. And I'm going to let this be somebody else's problem. And I think the Nick Sabans of the world are catching up. And maybe Bill Self joins them there as well. Because the days of guys doing this, building young men into their 70s, I think that's long gone, Kevin.
Yeah, because look, what Bill Self's had for 20-plus years there is kids wanted to come to Kansas and play for Bill Self. And Nick Saban said it very plainly last week in Washington, D.C. Nobody wants to come to Alabama and play for me anymore. They're like, how much am I going to play and how much are you going to pay me? And if you can't beat the other guy, I'm out of here. And if you come in as a freshman and you don't play them, they're going to leave and take money somewhere else. And there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, this is the stupidest system ever. The NCAA is not going to be the governing body, but there needs to be some sort of a governing body and a collective bargaining agreement. I'd be okay with that. It works in professional sports. Let's put some sort of a cap in place. We can separate out football and basketball and the minor sports any way we want to do it. But I think we're just going to have to do that and declare that this is minor league organized professional sports with some sort of rules to make sure that, you know, they're like the easiest thing in the world to me, Pete, would be you can't transfer in your conference. Shouldn't that be the simplest thing just right off the bat, is you can't transfer to your rival school? I mean, something's got to be done to tie these kids in just a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, makes me think, too, if we're going to treat this like minor league sports, like, what do we do with the classroom? The whole idea was these are student athletes. I mean, listen, we all know the student part of student athlete has been, you know, comical for a long time. But now if it's basically just minor league sports and, you know, we got collective bargaining agreements and the whole thing, do we even treat them like students anymore? I mean, what do we do with any of that, you know?
Well, I don't see the point. I don't remember the last time any athlete was suspended for academics. Do you?
No.
It just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. So they all cheat. They all have academic centers and they have people taking tests for them. And the things that used to get you on Missouri was the last one I remember got in trouble for something like that. It's just absurd because they're doing it all for them. By the way, they're going to have artificial intelligence on their computers to do their work for them anyway. The whole thing's a scam. It's all completely changed. And I'm not a get off my lawn old guy. If this is where we are, it's where we are. Let's just make it equitable and say, okay, I came to a school for a reason. I maybe do want to study or maybe I don't. I want to play for this coach because he can help me do this in my career. You know, Bill Self used to get big men because he was really good coaching big men. I don't see any kids valuing that at all anymore. And I don't know how you coach that way.
I don't. And, you know, the part of me too, like the conservative part of me says, hey, if a kid is motivated by money and nothing else, then you know what? I'm not going to sit here and tell him no. But I think the pendulum could swing back where suddenly these guys, if we get this collective bargaining, if suddenly there are some rules and regulations on how much you can make and signing a contract and staying somewhere for a couple of years and not transferring to your rival after 6 months, if we get to that point, then I think suddenly players will hopefully wise up and smart up and say, okay, I might give up a little bit of money to go play for this coach, but if I'm a big man and I want to be in the NBA where I can make exponentially more money, Kansas makes sense. I want to play for Bill Self. And yes, I'll get my $1 million a year. Maybe it's not going to be the 1.2 I get at Kentucky. But Bill Self is going to set me up to make tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in the NBA. So I'll forego the $200,000 a year on the front end. I hope that smartness, which is, I know, a word that doesn't prevail these days, but I hope it does prevail to some degree. And that at least makes it so these guys are looking at it more than simply, what is my check going to be next week?
Right. All right. On your best bracket, who do you have in the Final Four and winning this thing?
All right. I've got my Final Four, Houston, taking on Creighton. And then on the other side, I've got, UConn taking on Baylor. I think that the West regional there in the bottom left is just, that's going to be chaotic. That's going to be a joke. I think that, Baylor as the 3 seed can come out of that one just because I'll see a lot of upset. You got Arizona down there. You got North Carolina down there. So I think Baylor could slip through that one. UConn and Iowa State chalk in the East. And that's a coin flip, but UConn's just so good right now. Houston, listen, they're a little banged up, but I think for Houston, the best thing that happened to them was getting blown out in that Big 12 tournament final. Kelvin Sampson hits the reset button with his guys. The defense travels in the tournament, of course. And then, you know, Creighton McDermott's a team that's kind of been under the radar in the Big East. And, you know, it's cliche, but coaching wins in this tournament. And those are four great coaches if you get them there. Scott Drew, Danny Hurley, Kelvin Sampson, and McDermott. So, and then I've got, I'm going Houston, UConn in the championship game.
Awesome. Okay, before I let you go, I want to ask you about Mayor Q, because I think he's going to have to unblock me. The Supreme Court ruled 9-0 last week that government officials can't block constituents or people to their, not just their government ones, but their personal social media accounts. So I think that I'm hopeful, and I think that's going to happen. You have him on your show weekly, and I would, maybe it's not, this isn't an exact way to describe it. I think he's closer to AOC than just about any other politician I could think of. I think they're just in, kind of in lockstep. But when he's on with you, he sounds like Mitt Romney. Sounds like he could almost be a Republican light. He's pretty good at the game, isn't he?
He's excellent. Yeah, no doubt. He is. You know, it's one of those conversations that, listen, some people don't like, and that's their prerogative. But I'm a guy that follows the numbers, and it does very well for us on Thursday mornings at 7:30 on KCMO. So, we keep that conversation going. I will ask him about that, by the way, this week. That is on my list to ask Quentin Lucas about that Supreme Court decision, because I know you're not alone. There are plenty of other people that he has blocked on his social media pages. So I don't know what his answer is going to be, but he is an attorney too. So something tells me he's going to have some legalese prep for what his answer is going to be on that. There's no doubt. But, you know, what is he? Who is he? This is the biggest criticism I've heard of Quentin Lucas from people of all political backgrounds on all political stripes. He will say what he needs to say to the audience he is speaking to. And there's something to be said for that. However, eventually you hang around politics long enough, people are going to sniff you out. And that's where he has pissed off a lot of Democrats, along with obviously conservatives who thought he was more moderate when they voted for him 5 years ago now, realizing he's not. But also a lot of Democrats who just don't know if what he says they can believe. And that's something that helped him get elected twice in this town. But for him playing the long game, I think that approach will hurt him when it comes to having a big, grandiose, Obama-esque political career, which he wants to have. Because if people across the aisle feel like they can't look you in the eye and say, at least I know this person is a man of his word, that could hurt him more than any, you know, any policy he puts into place in this town. That could end up hurting him much more.
I feel like maybe he's more outspoken with his leftist policies in the last year or so than he's ever been. Do you kind of see that too, and the things that he's doing and pushing?
Well, yeah. I mean, frankly, I think that goes back to COVID. I mean, he gets elected summer of 19, and you know, I never endorsed in the race. I had him on. I had on Jolie Justice. But if you were to probably poll our audience, they were much more fans of his. They thought that he was not a Republican. He never billed himself as that, but kind of a more old school, moderate Democrat. Now, he'll still say that, and he's entitled to say whatever he wants about himself. But a lot of people don't feel that way. And that probably dates back to COVID and George Floyd and, you know, what happened that summer. And listen, I think that if you were to get him privately in a room, and I've said this on the air, he would admit that he made mistakes in 2020 with the George Floyd stuff and with the COVID stuff. He won't say it publicly because no politician today is incentivized to admit that they screwed up and admit they got something wrong. It's just not something they do anymore. I wish they did. They'd be more human if they did it, but they don't. But for him, I think if you got him privately, he would admit that, because that was the beginning of the end. That was the beginning of, you know, embracing way too much of the far left nonsense that has frankly gone on to really hurt this town over the last 3-4 years.
I feel like he'd better, in his last couple of years here, or however long he's going to be doing this, I feel like he'd better clean up crime in Kansas City, Missouri, or his legacy is going to be that he was a George Floyd guy, he didn't value the police, and crime went crazy in Kansas City, and everyone, everywhere, wherever he goes, the rest of his career is going to remember that shooting at Union Station. That happened on his watch. I think that's going to be his real problem. But he's got time to fix that. I don't know why. You know, it's like Joe Biden. It's an election year. Fix the border. It's the one issue that's killing you and costing you the election. Just do the executive orders. Just do them. Mm-hmm. Clean the border up right now, and you might win the election. But if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to lose. I don't know why Quentin Lucas can't see. I got to get really, really, really serious and tough on crime right now in Kansas City. They've done it in Miami. Miami, for crying out loud, has a curfew for spring break that they enforce. If you can take hundreds of thousands of kids on the beach and enforce that and keep it safe, and they've got a Republican mayor now in Miami, and he's not a hard right Republican, he's middle of the road, but they've done great things in cleaning up and turning Miami around. If he can't see that and understand that this is going to follow me forever, I could be the mayor that cleaned up Kansas City right now. I think over the next 2 years he could do that, but I don't really see him trying.
So the political calculation, I mean, listen, that makes common sense. But to get ahead in the Democratic Party, does that matter? I mean, that's the question he's got to be asking himself. Because here's the thing. To clean up crime, you're right. You got to get tough on crime. You've got to start realizing that your prosecutor, Gene Peters Baker, is a major roadblock to you cleaning up crime. No one, no criminal in this town fears her or fears that office like they do up in Platte and Clay counties. And he knows that deep down. I have given him every opportunity to crush Jean Peters Baker, or at least politely say something against her, and he won't do it, even though she's leaving office this year and that seat is going to be open. And I don't understand the political calculation behind that. You know, we've talked about that on my show. I don't know why, but I think his last hope here is that he gets in a prosecutor that will actually do this job the right way. He does have somebody in his office that is running for this seat. I've heard mixed reviews on her, but he's got to get that office squared away. And then also he's got to drop the whole local control nonsense. I mean, nobody wants to hear that. It is irrelevant to the issues this city is facing right now. Criminals do not care if the city council or a board of police commissioners run the police department. They are committing crimes because they do not fear. And they also are back out on the streets 10 minutes after they get arrested. So until he cleans that up and admits the problems that actually exist, this is not going to get better anytime soon. But heck, I'm pulling for him just because I think we all want to see, you know, less dead bodies on the streets in this town.
Nobody knows Kansas City like Pete Mundo, folks. You should be listening to Talk Radio, KCMO Talk Radio 95.7 every single morning, anytime you can between 6 and 10. It is Mundo in the morning. You are amazing, sir. Congratulations on all your success, and I cannot thank you enough for your valuable time on this day.
Hey, right back at you, Kevin. We appreciate it, man. And, thanks for always coming on my show and helping us out. And the audience loves hearing from you. So have a great day, man.
Wow, just great stuff from my buddy Pete Mundo of Talk Radio 95.7 KCMO. He is the man, Mundo in the morning. And I don't know what everybody's schedules are or whatever, but you can also hear interviews and things that he does on their podcast page on their website if you want to check those out. And, of course, Pete has Heartland College Sports, which for any sports fans is a must-visit destination. If you love following college sports, and especially their focus on the Big 12, heartlandcollegesports.com. Pete Mundo owns and operates that, and he would welcome the traffic there, or maybe you'd like to advertise there, or just dude's raising three little girls right now, getting up at 4 in the morning and doing a radio show from 6 to 10 a.m., and he still makes time for me. That's pretty awesome. Pete Mundo is indeed a special gem here in Kansas City. And a wonderful public service, what he does by presenting so much information about Kansas City to anyone that wants to listen in Kansas City. His appearance today was brought to you by Back 9 Development, online at back9development.com. TJ Vilkanskas is a builder and developer and would love to work with you and your company or you as an individual. If you'd like to build a home, great. If you're thinking about a development, whether it's commercial, real estate, apartments, condominiums, TJ can work all the way through this. If you've got an investment group that would like to get with him or some land you'd like to develop, contact TJ Vilkanskas at 785-236-0161. Back 9 Development is your custom home builder. Advanced Medical Imaging. See what's inside. Get that scan today or tomorrow. Why wait? Got another email from a listener who said he went and did it a day after he called, made an appointment for the next day, went and did it. Immediately sent the results to his doctor. His doctor's office called him and said, how in the world did you get this scan done this fast? Because he'd only been at his doctor's like 2 days earlier. And he's like, I went to Advanced Medical Imaging. The doctor said, I'm going to send all my patients to Advanced Medical Imaging. Why would you mess with these ridiculous hospital chains and wait 6 weeks to get a scan when you really need one? Whether it's a bad knee or they spotted something they don't like that they think could be a tumor that's really serious, you need to know now. See what's inside at Advanced Medical Imaging online, medimageks.com. And spring cleaning time, folks. Earth Effects Outdoor needs to come out to your house. Get rid of your Bradford pears, right? We talked about the Bradford pears got to go. You're not supposed to keep those around. They're invasive. I got an email from a guy who said they were imported originally from China, that the Bradford pears are from China. Do not call EE Outdoor and ask them to put Bradford pears in. It sounds like we're getting rid of all of them in this area if we can, because they're invasive and ruin a lot of other things. EE Outdoor knows all these things, and they can help you around your house or your business. They'd love to be your landscaper, especially if you'd like to do something with hardscapes. They're great at fire pits, waterfalls, outdoor kitchens, lighting. They do it all online at eeoutdoor.com. That's eeoutdoor.com. Don't forget, all our sponsors are at thekklist.com if you want to check them out. And on Friday's podcast, we've got another special guest. Trevor Holsinger will join us from Aspen Wealth Management. They're online at aspenwealth.com. Trevor's been in the business, financial, industry, economy for a long, long time. We're going to ask him what's going on, what to expect in an election year. Is this kind of a fake economy? Is there a bubble? I got lots of questions for Trevor Holsinger. I think you're going to find it fascinating. I got more email questions for Trevor that I'll be asking him than any other guest we've ever had. When I mentioned a couple times I'm going to have a financial expert on, man, I must have gotten 40, 50 emails. And we've sorted through them. Many of them are going to make the podcast. There'll be a lot of your questions. And I think you're really going to enjoy this. Maybe we need to do more financial stuff on the podcast. It seems like most of you are very, very interested about and concerned about your money, your budget, your retirement, Social Security, insurance, savings, investments, things of that nature. And I think you're going to love this interview with Trevor Holsinger. Again, their website is aspenwealth.com. He's the CEO and founder of that here in Kansas City. And it's going to be great. I think you're really going to enjoy that on Friday's episode of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Kevin Keatsman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.